Are you a sinner? Now, most of us are not really sure, because that word brings up visions of really bad things: murder, theft, rape. And we don't do those things. At least most of us don't. But tonight, let me ask the question another way. Are you perfect? And we have to admit that, no, we're not perfect. But here's the second question. In what ways are you not perfect? And that's a little more difficult. They're not the obvious things we do, but they're the things we treat, the ways we treat one another, the thoughts we harbor in our hearts and minds. But here is the third question. What does God think of our imperfections? Are they serious to God? Are our flaws important? Do they matter to God? At Christmas at our house, we put on our mantle some lovely, beautiful figurines to form a manger scene. There is Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. There's a donkey and a lamb. They are gobble figurines. They don't make them anymore. They were given to us some years ago by a member of the family, and we are very proud of them. But last year, during the night, a wreath hanging over the mantel fell and knocked the figurines off. They fell on the hearth and were smashed. Sydney almost cried when she saw them, but then she carefully picked up every tiny little piece and began to glue them back together. From across the room now, you can't tell anything is wrong. But if you get up close, you can see the flaws. They're not perfect anymore. There are cracks that show, imperfections that are visible. All of us are like that. We're not perfect anymore. When you get up close to us, you discover our warts and our zits, and we have flaws and imperfections, don't we? Do you remember the story in the Bible about the woman taken in adultery? The Jews were ready to stone her, but Jesus said to them, "He that is without sin among you, let him throw the first rock." And then we read this, "And they which heard this, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last." I'm convicted by my own conscience about my warts, aren't you? When you get up close to me, you discover flaws and cracks and imperfections. I read a story once about a woman who went to the city clinic to get a free chest x-ray. She had to sign a paper certifying that she could not afford to pay for it at a regular clinic. After the doctor had studied the x-ray, he called the poor woman into his office. "The x-ray shows you have a terrible condition of the heart," he said. And then he showed her the x-ray. And there on the film was outlined the coin purse she had pinned inside her dress, filled with money. And we all have those flaws that we think are hidden. But God sees them. The question is this: are our cracks and flaws, our hidden sins, our imperfections important to God? Do they matter to Him? Well, Christmas is God's answer to our brokenness. When life has knocked us off the mantle and shattered us on the hearth of sin, Christmas tells us that God wants to put us back together again. So the first point I'd like to make on this Christmas Eve is this. Christmas is for everybody. I once called on a man who had visited the church I served to talk to him about the Lord. He wouldn't let me enter his house. He kept me standing at the door. "You Christians think God cares about people like me," he said, "but I don't believe it. How can God know or care what's going on in my life?" Well, I understand how he felt. There have been times in my life when I felt all alone. There have been those times when I felt cut off from God. And I wondered if he knew or cared what was happening to me. Have you ever felt that way? But Christmas is for everybody. It isn't just for the rich or just for the poor. It isn't for the educated or just for blacks or browns or yellows or whites. It isn't just for Americans or Arabs. It's for everybody. God cares about every single individual. And one day, when that baby grew up, do you know what he said? He said, "Not even a sparrow falls to the ground, but my Father knows about it, and you are more important than many sparrows." That the Christmas holidays are sad times for many people. It's sad for those who've lost a loved one. It's sad for those who are by themselves, who are single. Those who are alone, who have no one with whom to share the holidays. We're told that the suicide rate escalates. But the whole point of Christmas is not family times, not family celebrations, as important as those are. No, the point of Christmas is to say to each person, "You are important to God. He cares for you. And here in the manger is the proof that you are important to God." So Christmas is for everybody. Nobody is left out. The second thing Christmas teaches us is that we can trust God. Let me confess to you that I don't always trust God myself, at least not at first. Can you trust God when your child is dying with cancer? Can you trust God when you discover your little baby is mentally retarded? Can you trust God when you find your mate is having an affair and your marriage is collapsing about you? Can you trust God when illness has eaten up your financial resources and you don't know what the future holds? Can you trust God when you wake up from surgery and find you've got 2 steel rods down your spine? You see, life doesn't always work out the way we want or the way we wish. As a matter of fact, sometimes life can be very, very hard. Can we trust God? Well, that depends on what you mean. It depends on what you are trusting God for. Are you trusting Him to make things turn out the way you want? Are you trusting Him to do what you think is best? Are you trusting Him to say yes to all of your prayers? If that's what we are trusting God for, then God is not trustworthy. You can't depend on Him to do those things. If I can't trust God in that way, how can I trust Him? The Bible says I can trust Him to love me. For example, can your children trust you to love them? And does that mean doing for them everything they want? Does loving your children mean never correcting them or disciplining them? My wife doesn't always do all the things I ask her to. Sometimes she doesn't do anything I ask her to. But I trust her to love me. This year when I was so desperately ill, I could trust her to love me. So with God, we may not understand life or the things that happen to us. We may not comprehend why bad things happen or sorrow comes. But one thing we always know, we can trust God to love us. We have a song in our hymn book entitled "The Love of God." The words are written by a man named F.M. Lehman. I have read somewhere that he did not write the last verse to his hymn, but that he found it written on the wall of a small room in a mental institution. And there, in the worst of circumstances, some lonely inmate still trusted God and wrote these words. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every blade of grass a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God to man, drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. So Christmas is for everybody, and it means we can trust God to love us. The third thing I want to say is this. Christmas comes because God wants to heal our brokenness. The first question I asked you tonight was this: are you perfect? And of course, none of us is. But the incredible good news of Christmas is that God wants to do something about our imperfections. He wants to heal us, to mend our flaws, our brokenness. He wants to take all of the broken fragments of our lives and glue them back together again. As most of you know, I spent over 4 months in the hospital this year, and a total of 7 months, I was very ill. One part of the Bible that became very important to me during those days was the book of Psalms. I think the reason is that the Psalms are people at prayer. The Psalms are simply people praying. Sometimes they're happy and their prayers are filled with praise and glory, such as Psalm 150. But more often than not, they are people who are hurting, or people who are desperate, or people who are persecuted, or people who are dreadfully ill, and their prayers to God are all about their desperate needs. Now, I think that's why people in trouble of any kind find the book of Psalms meaningful to them. Anyway, one day I was reading the seventh Psalm. The first two verses tell God how the writer is being treated badly by his enemies. And then in the next three verses, he says this: O Lord my God, if I have done evil, if there is wrong in my hands, if I have requited my friend with evil, or plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue me and overtake me, and let him trample my life to the ground and lay my soul in the dust. And when I read that, I cried out, Lord, I cannot pray that prayer. I said, Lord, I have done evil. There is wrong in my hands. I have treated my friends badly. I've done worse to my enemies. And I know if I pray this prayer, I will be trampled to the ground. My soul will be laid in the dust. But you know, a strange thing happened. The Lord said to me, Andy, you can pray that prayer. Do you know why? Because He told me I was forgiven, that my sin was paid for, my brokenness was healed. Well, that's what Christmas is all about. It isn't just that a baby was born who was the Son of God. No, across the cradle falls the shadow of a cross, because Jesus was born to die. He was born to die that whoever believes in Him might not perish, but have eternal life. You know, Christmas must have broken the heart of God. But that's how much He loved the world, you. Last year, when we came downstairs that morning, and found our Goebel figure smashed on the hearth. Sidney picked up the pieces and put them back together again. And that's what God wants to do in your life and in mine. He wants to put the pieces back together again. But as she picked up the pieces, she made a discovery. She discovered that the figure of the baby Jesus was broken too. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let us pray.